We begin the current daf, Masechta Sita, daf Mem Vav. We begin on the bottom of daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, six lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of this parak regarding the halachas of the Egla Rufa, again, which is when there's a slain person that's found on the road between towns. They don't know who killed him. So then they have to, the elders of the city that's closest to where the person was slain, has to bring this calf, and it's decapitated. And our Mishnah continues discussing, which we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that in the previous two Mishnahs, regarding that there are elders from the Sanhedrin that come to measure which is the closest city. Now, so our Mishnah continues, and the theme it says, Niftar Zikne Yerushalayim B'Holchulam. So then, when the elders of Yerushalayim finish doing what they were supposed to do, meaning the Sanhedrin, where their whole job is to measure, as the Pasuk says, V'yetzu Zikenecho V'Sheftecho Madadu, that the elders and your judges, they come out and they measure which is the closest city. So after they ascertained which is the closest city, so then Zikne Oiso Ha'ir, then you have the elders of that city, which was the closest one to that person where he was slain, their Mavin, they bring, as the Pasuk says, Eglas Bakar, a young calf, which the Pasuk then continues, Ashele Moshcha Ba'oil, which has not carried on itself a yoke. That's one criteria, two criteria. Moreover, the Mishnah says, Ve'inamun Paislaba, that the halachas of blemishes do not apply to the Egla Rufa. It could have a blemish, and that's not an invalidating feature. Now, the Mishnah continues, U'meridin Eisel Anachal Eisen. So the calf has to then be brought down to a hard valley, which, as the Mishnah explains, Eisen, the term, what's called in the Torah, Nachal Eisen, Eisen is Kamashmai, as the word is usually translated, which means kasha, has to be a hard ground. Now, however, the Mishnah says, Avapisha in the Eisen Kasha, even if it's not a hard ground, it will be valid because the Pasuk only says it as a mitzvah, but not as what's called a kuva. It's not going to withhold the validity if it's not done in that way. Continues the Mishnah in the procession is, Ba'ufin Eisen B'Kaifetz. Then they chop off its head with a cleaver, which is like a type of a large knife, Me'achareha, from behind, meaning from the back of its neck. And moreover, Mekoyma Asim Lazroy Melevet, the place of where the Arifa was done, is forbidden to now plant and to have worked. Which, as the Gemara will explain, it's specifically that these types of works are forbidden. But Umuta Lisrik Shampishtan, however, you could, let's say, comb flax over there, or Lanakar Shamavanam, or you could chisel stone over there, because again, it's only types of work that are related to the ground itself, but other works which you're just doing work in that place, that's not forbidden. Mishnah continues, Zikne Oisa Irichzen Es Yedein B'mayim. So the elders of that city, they then wash their hands with water over there, but Mokam Arifa Shal Egla, in the place of where they decapitated the calf. V'aymer, and then they say the Pasuk that's brought in Devarim, Yedeinu Lo Shafcha Es Adam Hazeh, our hands did not spill this blood. Ve'inenu lo ro, and our eyes did not see this. Now the question that's obviously asked on that pasuk is, v'chial datenu also, what do you think would enter our mind, shezikni bezni shefchi damhim, that the elders of the courts of that city, from the judicial Jewish courts, are murderers? What is it that they're saying? Ela rather, what their statement is coming to say is, shleba al yedenu ufatrenu b'leimazin, this didn't happen through us, that we had let this guy leave our town without food, which is, as the Gemara explains, that it's regarding without food, and that's what the words Yedeinu Lo Shafchu means, to say he wasn't killed through us, through Al Yedeinu, which is that had we let him go without food, then he would have had to ambush and steal from other people who would then have been then try to defend themselves and then have murdered him, and that's why he got killed. So they're saying that statement that that's not our fault. We did not let him go without food. And the B'loi Re'inuhu, and we didn't see him. What does that mean? I mean, we didn't let him go by himself, without a group, without an escort. That's what it means. We didn't see him going by himself, and because if we did, we would have had someone go with him. Now the Mishnah continues the top of Memvav Mar Aleph. Now v'hakahanim, the kahanim, who, as the pasuk says, v'nikshu hakahanim b'nei Levi, that the kahanim, the sons of the tribe of Levi, they come near. Now, the Pasuk doesn't say for what purpose are they coming near, so that's what the Mishnah is coming to explain. They say the part of the Pasuk that's brought over there that says, Kapur la'amch Yisrael, atone for your nation, you the Jewish people, Asher Patis Hashem, which you have redeemed, Valtitin damnoki bekerav amch Yisrael, and don't place innocent blood amongst the midst of the Jewish people. Now, the Mishnah explains that the Kanu did not need to say, it seems unnecessary, which the Pasuk does quote these words, and that the blood will be an atonement for them. In other words, essentially what the Mishnah is saying is, the words of v'nachap alehem adam that's said in the Pasuk is not going back on v'anu v'amru to say that as if these three words are part of the Kahanic statement. Rather, explains the Mishnah, this is a separate phrase, ela rather ruach ha-kodesh mevastrasan. This part of the sentence is actually where the divine spirit is telling the Jewish people through Moshe Rabbeinu, which is written in the Torah, that emor sai shetasu kacha, whenever you're going to do this procedure of the egla rufa, hadam miskapulahem, then the blood will atone for you regarding the murder of this innocent person. Again, it's not the Kohen saying this, it's rather the Ruach HaKodesh that says, I mean, the Torah is telling you that you'll be atoned with this procedure. Now the Gemara asks, regarding one of the criterion we mentioned for the Egla Rufa, is that we said, Ve'ein hamum poiselba, that blemishes are not invalidating feature by the Egla Rufa. It could have a blemish and you could still use it for the Egla Rufa. Asked the Gemara, Ve'ein hamum poiselba Egla mikal v'chaymer, a blemish should be an invalidating feature by the Egla Rufa as a kal v'chaymer. Why? Because Uma Para, if we find regarding the Para Duma, the red heifer, which is a different halacha, which is when someone's tame from a mess, so then they have to take the ashes, they have to burn the Para Duma, the red heifer, mix that with a certain type of water, and then spray it on this person on day 3 and day 7, and then it could go into the mikveh and then becomes purified. Now, we find regarding the halachas of the Para Duma, She'en ha'shanam po'islespa, that the age of the para, of the cow, doesn't invalidate it. I mean, there's no requisite age that it has to be. And yet still, mum paisla ba, and if it has a blemish, it is an invalidating feature, because like it says in the pasuk by the para duma, ba midbar yotaz, ein ba mum, it can't have a blemish. So therefore, ask the Gemara, eglish ashanam paisla ba, so regarding a calf, where the years are invalidating, because whenever it says egla, it means it has to be in its first year. Once it passes a year, then it's possible, because wherever the Torah writes just the word egel or egla, it has to be a year old. As the Pasuk says, ve'egla and keves b'nei shana, those are terms, keves and egel or egla, which is a female, is that it has to be in its first year. So if age is a disqualifying feature, in the din shehei mum poislebo, isn't a kal v'chaymer that a blemish should be an invalidating feature? Because by Par Duma, where age is not a problem, and yet blemish is, so here where age is a problem, for sure blemish should be. So the Gemara says, no, Shani Hasim, there it's different, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says over there by the Par Duma, says, Asher Ein Bamum, which it doesn't have in it, meaning the Par Duma, a blemish, because it has to be unblemished. Now, Ba means in it, it's in what's called a mute, it's exclusionary, it's saying here, but not somewhere else, which tells us, Bamum Paisal. Only by the par duma is a blemish, invalidating feature. Ve'ein mum paisel be'egla, but it's coming to exclude and say that, however, the calf by the egla rufa there, the mum, the blemish, is not an invalidating feature. Now the Gemara asks el mi'atam, but if that's the case, like you're saying right now, wherever it says the term ba in it, it's a mute. It's excluding other areas from this halacha, and hence it excludes what we would have learned from a kal v'chaymer, meaning we were saying it's a kal v'chaymer. If para, which has less limitations, is limited by the blemish, for sure egla rufa, which has more limitations, like an H, for sure should have the problem of a blemish. So we said no, because since this is bah by para duma, saying only here, we can't learn an egla rufa from there. So although kal v'chaymer should tell us that egla rufa should have the problem, bah is telling us that you don't. And that asked the Gemara, so then, if that's the case, then regarding the halachas of para duma, we're like turning the table now, by para duma, other types of works that you would do with it should not be invalidating features. Now the reason being is because if one analyzes the psukim by para duma, it only talks about that the para duma, the red heifer, is not able to have carried an oil, a yoke. Now it's just as the Gemara will later on explain, we learn out the halachas of paraduma, a kavachimer from the halachas of egla rufa. Because by egla rufa, it invalidates not just with a yoke, it also, as the pasuk in Devarim Chavalv says, ashaloi ubadba. You cannot have done any work with it, which sounds like any work. Now, the problem is, if you're telling me that ba is exclusionary, so then actually you should not be able to learn out paraduma as a kavachimer from egla rufa, because egla rufa, although it has, let's say, less limitations than Paraduma, Kal v'chomer should have those limitations too, that other avodah should be possible. Problem is, but there's a miut of ba by Egla Rufa that tells you Ashalei Ubed ba. When are shar avodahs possible? Only ba, only by Egla Rufa, not by Paraduma. So therefore, ask the Gemara, Lomar Bihudam Rav, why does he say Hiniach Aleha? If you place on the Paraduma Uda, which means a grouping, a bundle, Shalsakin of sacks, Pesula, if you put that on top of the Paraduma, it invalidates it from being the halacha of a Paraduma. Now, although that's not a oil, it's not a yoke, and all you're doing actually is you're just placing it on top of the Paraduma, not even dragging it, still, I mean, it's not walking with it, still that's going to invalidate it as a Paraduma. Now, the reason for that is because when it writes by Para, what invalidates the Paraduma, for example, which in, it only writes in the Torah by the Paraduma regarding a yoke, it says Ashaloi Allah. It says that you have not even placed on the Paraduma, which sounds like whatever invalidates the Paraduma is just by placing, even if it didn't schlep, even if it didn't drag whatever was placed on top of it. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda Merav, just by placing a bundle of sacks on top of the Paraduma, it's going to invalidate it. Whereas Rabbi Egla, in contrast to the Egla Rufa, if you put on a bundle of sacks on it, it's only going to be problematic and invalidating Acha Timshech, until it actually walks a little bit when it was carrying that load. The reason being is because by the Egla Rufa it says Ashalei Mashcha. If it didn't draw, if it didn't pull, it has to schlep, has to walk with that on it. Now actually the Gemara later on will ask that since the problem and validating feature of other work, not just the yoke, is actually not written by the Paraduma. You only know that halacha Paraduma from the Egla Rufa, whether it's through a Kal v'chomer or through Gzeirat Shavuot. Question is, how could Rabbi Yehuda Merav say that it's going to be possible by just putting it on the Paraduma? Because in the context of Paraduma, it talks about placing on even without Meshicha, but the whole invalidating feature of other types of loads, which is not a yoke, is only known through Egla Rufa. And Egla Rufa itself is only when you're moishach it, not when you put it on. That's, the Gemara will address that question. But one thing that the Gemara is asking is that what we see from this halacha is that obviously we learn out the halacha of para from Egla Rufa, from a Kal v'chomer regarding other avodas, where if by Egla Rufa, Ashalei Ubed ba says that other works are invalidating, Kal v'chomer Paraduma, even other work is going to be invalidating. Problem is, but by the Egla Rufa, when it says that halacha of Ashalei Ubed of other work, it says the term ba. And you just told me ba is exclusionary criterion that would exclude even something from learning from a Kal v'chomer. So how does Rabbi Yehuda Merav say that other work is going to be invalidating by the Paraduma when ba should say that you don't say a Kal v'chomer? So that the Gemara answers, no, Shani Para, Para Aduma is different, that you could learn it out from Egla Rufa, even though regarding that halacha it says ba, is because the Afinan oil me Egla. Is because there's a Gzeirah Shavah. Now, it's not just a Gzeirah Shavah, as Rashi points out, it's a Gzeirah Shavah Mufna, which means to say the words are superfluous. Then that tells us that under all circumstances, you're going to learn that Gzeirah Shavah. Hence, it's as if, since it says the word oil by para, it says oil by Egla Rufa, so we learn that the parashas of para from Egla Rufa, and hence it's like as if it wrote Ashalei Ubad Ba, not just by Egla Rufa, as if those same words were written by the parasha of Paraduma. So now, although it does say ba, which is exclusionary criteria, that as we'll see later on, that comes to exclude something else. So it is excluding something, but not Paraduma, because the Gezer Sheva tells us that para has the same halachas as the Egla Rufa. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, well then, Egla Nami, Tesa Oil Elmi Para. A Gezer Sheva is a two-way street. You should learn out the halachas of Egla Rufa, then, from the Paraduma. And you should say, as we had started off the Gemara's question, which was that if, not just from a Kal v'chomer, but rather from a Gezer Sheva, if a blemish is invalidating feature by Paraduma, it should be the same thing by Egla Rufa. Because just like you learn a para from Egla, even though there's a mid of ba, because of Gzeirah Shavah, so then Egla Rufa should learn that from Paraduma, even though this says ba there, from the Gzeirah Shavah. That tells us that just like mum passels over there, it should pass later too. So the Gemara says, no, but hamid rachmana ba. But we can't say the Gzeirah Shavah tells us that Egla has the psul of mum, just like by para, because ba, where it says, by Paraduma, says only here do we say Muma problem, not by Egla Rufa. That the Gemara asked, what do you mean? By Egla Nami Yuxiv Ba. By Egla it also says Ba, and still you have no problem learning out Para from Egla, because of Gzeirah Shavah. So you should say the same thing, Egla from Para. So the Gemara says, no. The Ba that it says by Egla, That's needed to exclude something else. And therefore, that's not problematic to learn out para from egla, because the Gezeirah Shavah tells us you learn the same. The other way around, by paras ba, that is not excluding anything else but egla. So that's why we can't say that it has the problem of mum. But the fact that Rabbi Yehuda Merav learns out that you learn a para from egla, and ba doesn't exclude the para duma, is because ba is excluding something else, is excluding kachim karbanis, which is deloy paslo ba'avayda, where there we say that ba, although it says ashloi ubad ba, that by the egla rufa, doing any type of work is an invalidating feature, but by karbanis, by kachim, even if it does work, it's not going to invalidate it from being a carbon. But again, that's not excluding para, you do learn it out from the Gzera Shava that it will have that will have the same invalidating feature as Egla Rufa of doing any work. Now, the Gemara explains that why do we need ba of the Egla Rufa to exclude other karbanis to say that their doing work is not going to be invalidated? Because I would have thought, if not for ba, that actually we should learn that from a kavachem, from an egla rufa, where we're doing any work with it, invalidates it from being the egla rufa, kavachemer to karbanis, which definitely we did any work with it, should invalidate it. Because umma egla she'ein mum paisuba, because if, as we know, as we said, you don't learn enough from paraduma, that a blemish is not invalidating feature by egla rufa, and yet still avoid the paiselis, but still doing work with it invalidates it. So kachem regarding karbanis, Shemun Pleiselsben, where a blemish does invalidate a carbon, in the din Shavoida Pleiselsben, isn't a Kavachemer that doing work with a carbon should invalidate it? That's why you need to have Ba, Ashaloi Ubed Ba, by Egla Rufa, by the decapitated calf, to say that not only their work is going to be a problem, but not by Karbanis, again, but not excluding Para Aduma. Now the Gemara asks, wait a second, Ikla Mifrach, why do you say you need Ba to exclude Karbanis? Because you would have said, based on a Kavachemer, that Karbanis would also be invalidated with work. I can refute that kavachem. I don't need a pasuk to exclude that. Because male egla, what do you mean? Maybe only be'egla rufa has the stringency of not doing any work with it. Shekein chanan paisus, but because as we mentioned before, it has has its own chumras of that age is invalidating feature, in contrast to karbanis. I've had the Gemara response to the question of what do you mean? Atu kachem, you think by karbanis, mi leka de pasuk b'shan, you think there are no karbanis that are also limited and have the stringency about being a certain age? What do you mean? The Karban Pesach, Karban Chatos, they all have to be within their first year. So therefore the Gemara answers the question by saying, Ki Itzach Kra, when did we need the Pasuk of Ba to exclude the Psul of Avodah by Karbanis? That's Lahanach Kachim, the Pasuk of Boshanim, that's regarding those Karbanis that are invalidated based on their years. Because as we said before, if we would not have had Ba by Egla Rufa to exclude Karbanis, we would have learned it out from a Kavachim from Egla Rufa, that if by Egla Rufa, where there's no problem about Mum, work is a problem, so then by Karbanis, where Mum is a problem, definitely the work should be a problem. But again, that's why we say Ba, that work is not a problem by Karbanis. Now, but the Gemara asks on this interpretation that this is what Ba is coming to teach by Egla Rufa to exclude not Para, but rather Karbanis. The Gemara asks, for Kachim Delei Pasul Bahu Avayit, regarding Karbanis, that they're not invalidated if work was done with them. You think mahacha nafka, you learn it out from this term of ba, but mahasam nafka, we actually learn it out from a different pasuk. As the Gemara says, the pasuk in Vayikra says, averes, if it's a blind animal, or shava, or broken, or charutz. Charutz is when the eyelid is either, if there's a cut in the eyelid or the lip, or yabeles, or if there's a wart, or garav, or yalefes, which these are two types of shchin, of types of blisters. Garav is one that's like earth and earthenware because it's dry on the inside and it's dry on the outside. And yalefis is the one that's moist on the outside and dry on the inside. So if the animal has any one of these features, the pasuk says, Le'sekrivu elu l'Hashem. You can't sacrifice any of these types of animals as a carbon to Hashem. Says the Braisa, Eli yata makriv, these types of animals you can't sacrifice. But what that comes to exclude is only these are disqualifying features. But if it just had work done with it, then you could bring it as a carbon. So you see from this term of Eila, you exclude work, not from Ba. So the Gemara says, no, Itzach, we still need to have Ba to exclude work. Because I mean, I would have thought to say, if we only had this Braisa from the term of Eila, Hanamili, when did we say that work is not a problem by Karbanas? That's Heichadav ben Avodisata. I would have said that's only when you did permitted work with it, regular work with an animal, and then you want to bring it as a carbon. That's okay. avlavoidas iser. But if, let's say, you did prohibited work with that animal, for example, if you worked it on Shabbos, or if you worked it, let's say, an ox with a donkey together, which is klayim, then imolatasru, then it would have said that doing work with it would invalidate it. That's why tzricha, that you need to have ba to say that no work is a problem by karbanis, it's only a problem by egla and things like that, like the paraduma. Now, however, the Gemara continues asking, but vahanami mahachanafka, but even that concept about not only permitted work, but even forbidden work, we also know from that pasuk, because it says later on, it says when it's talking about what type of karbanis are good or not, it says a miyad ben necher, and from the hand of a foreigner, leisakrivu es lechem lekechem mekaleli, you're not allowed to bring a bread, a carbon for Hashem your God from all these things. Now, since it says two times this term ela, so obviously one would be teaching you that there's even permitted, and then the second would be referencing even avodas iser. So the Brisa says, eli iyata makriv, it's these things that you can't bring. Avalata makriv kachem shenev de ben avoida, which actually some of the gears are avera, because what it's coming to say is, but you could sacrifice kachem, that even if it did not only avoidas of heter, because it said already eila one time, why does it say eila again? To say even if you did avoidas of iser. So you don't need ba to tell you that, because you know it from eila, from the two times it says eila. So the Gemara says, no, itzuch, you still need to have ba to exclude karbanas of kachem and not being having a problem of avodah. Why? Because I still would have said, hanemili hecha da avi ben kshen chulin. I would have said, you're right. We already have a reference from one time eila, there's no problem about doing permitted work. We have another reference of eila saying there's no problem about doing even prohibited work. But I would have said that's only not a problem if you work the animal before you consecrate it. Aval Ovid Behen Kishin Kadshim, but if you had done work with it once you already made it a carbon, Imalatasu, then I would say, well, that's a disqualifying feature. A Kadshim, having done work with it, that's why Tzricha, that's why you need to have Ba to say that no, any work is a problem by Egla Rufa, but no work is going to be a problem by Kadshim, whether it's permitted, forbidden, or even work once it was a carbon. So again, that answers the question why we don't exclude the paraduma, because ba is excluding something else, in contrast to learning egla from para, where ba excludes nothing else but egla, and that's why mum is not an invalidating feature by the egla rufa. Now, Gufa, we quoted before, and the Gemara elaborates on this halacha, which we alluded to this question before, Amar Yehuda Marav. He said, Hanich alaha uda shel sakan. If you put on the paraduma, again, the red heifer is a context related to halachas of tumas mes, which they take the animal, they burn it, take its ashes, mix it with water, and they spray it on the tumas person. So regarding this animal that has to be used, which has to be totally red, and so on, has many different halachas. So that Rabbi Yehuda Marav says, if let's say a person places a bundle of sackcloths on top of the para, the red heifer, psula, that already invalidates it from being used in this procedure of paraduma. Whereas ube egla, in contrast to the egla rufa, acha timshach, just putting it on is not going to invalidate it. Only if the animal now walks a little bit, it pulled the load, then it's going to invalidate it. That Mesvi, the Gemara asked from the following brisa. The pasuk says in Bamidbar, and this is in Perek Yutes Pasuk Beis, the pasuk that begins Zeis Chukas Atayra, where again it's Parshas Chukas is talking about the parsha of Paraduma. It says Veikru Lecha Paraduma Tamimo. You have to take for yourself a red heifer that's complete, Asha'im Bamum, that has no blemishes, which has not been placed on it, what? An oil. Again, this brice is in regards to the paraduma, that you didn't place any yolk on that red heifer. Says the brice, ainli ela oil, I would only know that what's a problem for the paraduma, only if you put on it a yolk. Shavoid is minayin, how do we know that if it did any other work, that's also a disqualifying feature? So Amrit Kavachemer, says the brice, we know it from a Kavachemer. Uma egla she'im mum paislabam, if regarding the egla rufa, which we mentioned before, and that's the halacha mentioned on Mishnah, that a blemish does not disqualify the egla rufa. Yet shara avodas paislas ba, but other work, not only a yoke, is a disqualifying feature, as the pasuk says, ashalei ubed ba, that you didn't do any work with. So therefore, kal v'chomer, para shemum paislas ba, so regarding the paraduma, which a blemish is an invalidating feature, in a din shara avodas paislas ba, so isn't a kal v'chomer that other work should be disqualifying feature in it? So that's how we know that other work is disqualifying, not just a yoke, by paradum. Now continues the brisa, v'imnaf shechlema, but if you want to say, meaning if you have what to respond as a problem, as a pircha for this kal v'chomer, then you could even learn it out from gzeiras shava, where there are no questions would undo Gzeres Shavah, Kal V'Chomer, you could disprove the logic. But Gzeres Shavah says we compare it even if you don't agree to the logic. So therefore he says, Nemar Kan, oil, here it says the term oil, V'Nemar L'Halon, oil, and there by Egel Arufa says the term oil of a yoke. And if we make the following Gzeres Shavah, Mal L'Halon Sharavoy displaces, but just like over there, other work, not just that of a yoke, invalidates it, of Kan Sharavoy displaces here also, other work is going to disqualify it. Now, the Gemara parenthetically asks, Mayim Nafshach Lema, what was the time of the Braisa referring to when he says, but if you have some type of a problem with the Kal V'Chomer, what was the Tana alluding to that could have undone the Kal V'Chomer and to say, okay, instead you learn it from Gzeres Shavah? So the Gemara says, if you're going to say that what could have been a question on this logic of the Kal V'Chomer by saying, Mala Eglo, that no, you could say that maybe the Egel Arufa is more stringent. It's not the Kal. Kal V'Chomer is that. If that Kal, if that lenient halacha has that stringency, well, the Chomer, the more stringent halacha for sure has that stringency. Now we can say that no, maybe the Egel Arufa is more stringent than the Paraduma. That's why other type of work is a problem. Shekein Shanim Places Ba. It has a certain stringency limitation that its age is a disqualifying feature, which you don't have by Paraduma. Or Inami, or another approach that could disprove the logic of the Kal V'Chomer, where kachim echichu, karbanis could disprove it, because the halach is by karbanis shemum paisel ben, where a blemish is an invalidating feature, ve'en avayda paiselis ben, and work is not a disqualifying feature. So therefore, it doesn't mean Kal V'Chomer that if by para, mum is a problem, that then based on the Kal V'Chomer from egla rufa that avayda, that other work is for sure going to be a problem, because that's not true. We see by karbanis that blemishes are a problem, and work is not. So we could say the same thing by paraduma too. So therefore, the Tana of the Braisa says, rather, you could learn it from a Gzeres Shavah. We're nemer kan oil, but nemer lahalan oil. Ma lahalan shavoy, that's just like over there by Egel Arufa, it was including other work too. Av kan shavoy, this here also includes other work too. That's the end of the Braisa. Now, the Gemara that continues now is not continuing from the words of the Tana. Rather, it's the Gemara explaining what is the tiyufta, what's the question that's being asked on this statement that we quoted from Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Where again, as he said before, that other types of loads will be invalidating by a paraduma, and not only that it's going to be a problem with other type of work, but even if you just put it on the animal, even without walking with it. Now that's what the Gemara's question is, that since, as we're proving from this Braisa, that the way that you know that other types of loads, not just a yoke, which is what only thing that it says by paraduma, that even other types of work are a problem by para, is that because we know it from Egla Rufa, from a Gezerah Shavah. So therefore, ask the Gemara, Umimakam Shabasa. Well then, from where you're coming from, meaning from the place where you're learning, so then you should say the same thing to what you're learning it to. And that is, Malahal, and just like over there by the Egla Rufa. The halacha is, Achetim Sheikh, that it's only problematic other type of work until it actually draws it, it walks with the load on it. So Afkan, then here also by the Paraduma, when you're saying that other loads are going to be disqualifying for it, which you only know from Egla Rufa, should only be Achetim Shech, should be only until you walk with it. How could Rabbi Marav say the halacha of other types of work, of other types of loads, that's a problem by Paraduma, that it's only, even if you just put it on the animal, how could you say that? By oil, you could say that, because that's what the Pasuk says, Ashallah Allah oil. But other types of work, which you only know from Egla Rufa, and Egla Rufa itself is only a problem when you walk with it, so therefore, how could you say paraduma, other type of work, is going to be a problem, even if you don't walk with it, even if you're just putting on the animal? So then the Gemara answers, Tanoyim. That actually, it's a machlikas Tanoyim, if you know the halacha of other type of work, but the paraduma is a problem, because as the Tana of the Braisa we just quoted, you learn that from Egla Rufa, where then there would be a question of Rida Marab, or actually, as we'll see, that you don't learn it out from there. You learn it out from the halachas of paraduma itself. And then obviously there's no problem, because then you're within the context of what it says by paraduma, which is ashalei Allah. By just putting it on, it's already a problem. As the Gemara says, there are those tanoim that learn it out, as this previous braisa just said, from either a Kal V'Chomer or a Gzeres Shavah, from Egla Rufa. But there are those that learn it out from the context of the halachas of paraduma itself, and that's where Rav would know it from. Therefore, Rav wouldn't be limited to having to have meshichetz, even if you just put it on the animal itself. The Tana, Glinda Braisa. Says in the parasha of paraduma, it says oil. There's a problem about putting a yoke on the paraduma. Now, says the Braisa, Ainli Elo oil. I would only know, as the Pasuk only says, it's a problem if you put on the yoke. Sharavoid is minayin, other types of work, other types of loads. How do we know that's a problem? Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches. Asher lo ola aleha oil, that you did not put on it a yoke, mikol makom. That's in any situation. Now, what this means, as Rashi explains, is that the Tanya of this Braisa is expounding asher lo ola aleha without the word oil. Meaning, it didn't say, as we explained a similar phenomenon in the previous daf, didn't say asher lo ola oil aleha. It first said asher lo ola. Stop. Ashley Allah, aleha, what didn't you put on it? Sounds like anything. Now, yes, although then the pasuk, the next word continues and uses the word oil, that's for a drasha to expound as the brasa continues. But with the word Ashley Allah, aleha, that says, whatever you put on is a problem. Any type of load, any type of work. Now, so then says the brasa, well, if that's the case, m'kei matam aleha oil, then why does the pasuk specify a yoke? Oh, oil is coming to tell you that oil is poisel bein b'shas avoid, the bein shaloi b'shas avoid. The reason why we specified in the pasuk a yoke is to tell you that it's going to be a disqualifier whether you're putting it on when it's working or even when it's not working. Even if you put it on just because you were carrying this heavy yoke, where are you going to put it? So you put it down on your animal, but not for it to schlep it, just to, I needed a place to put it down. That's what the pasuk telling you, that oil is always a problem. But whereas Shar Vaidis, regarding other types of work, other types of loads, ain't priceless el b'shas avoida, there it's only a problem, only in the context of doing work. In other words, that this work that it did was for the purpose of doing work. Again, however, but as Rav had said, it's even if you didn't do mashiach, even if the animal didn't walk with it, it just put it down, but you were putting it down at least for the context of work. But again, if you just happen to have put it down because you don't want to carry a heavy load and you just put it down on the animal but not to walk with it, then you're right, that's not going to be a disqualifying feature, and that's why it picks out the pasuk only oil. You're right, other things are a problem, but oil is always going to be a problem in contrast to other work, which is only if you did it in the context of carrying a load, but even if it doesn't walk. And again, that's the answer for Rabbi Yehuda Merav, because he actually doesn't learn out this halach of other work from a kavol chaim or gzeir shavim egla roof. He learns out from the pasuk of Parduma itself. Now the Gemara asks a different question that says, why are we learning it out like this, how the Brice is saying it? Let's give a different format for the pasuk. Let's say when it says that you did not put on the animal, that's a klal. That's a general statement. Like you're saying, you, the time of the Brice, you want to learn it out every type of work, because before the word oil, that includes everything. Well, that's a klal. It's a general statement. Then when it says the word oil, that a yoke, that's a prat, that's a specific type of work or load. So then that's what's commonly known as one of the Yud Gimel Midas Shatur Nidrashis Ben, which is klalu prat. That's when you have a general statement and a specific statement. That usually should tell us, ein b'chlal el mashe b'prat, that now, the what's included in this general statement is only what's in what was later specified. So then the halacha should be, oil in midech v'niloy, that no, the only thing that should be a problem for the paraduma should be a yoke and nothing else. Because, although yes, Asher lo ola aleha includes everything, but that's a klal, and then prat, and klal prat tells us, ein b'chlal, mashe b'prat. So how are you coming to tell us that actually all types of work are forbidden? It's just that it's specified oil to tell you that there it's a problem, even shalei b'shas avoida. I think my answer is no, because Asher, the term that it says, Asher lo ola aleha oil, that is ribuyuhu. That's a term of ribuy, which again, we're actually going to have this answer in the Gemara a few times, and depending on the context, what this comes to say, what it's definitely coming to say, that we're not going to view that term of Ashaloi Ola Aleha as a klal. Either it means to say that it's coming to say something else, or actually from the halachas of Riba and Mirt, which is a similar type of a drasha, but very different in the way how we understand what the pasuk is coming to tell us, and therefore Riba includes everything, which as we said before, includes all types of work. Now the Mirt of oil, which is minimizing, saying only a yoke, that's coming to say, yeah, because there it's going to be a problem whether b'shas avoid or shle b'shas avoid. But other things are going to be a problem in all situations. But again, only if it was in the context of avoid, then that's why we can't learn it as a klal prat. Similarly, the Gemara says, v'tani namigavi eglu kiagav, the same type of a halacha that we just said in the context of the parasha Paraduma, the red heifer, we have a similar type of a Bryce's discussion regarding the halachas of egla ruf, where the Bryce says, oil, it says, a problem by the egla roof of carrying a yoke. Ainly ilo oil, I would only know that it's a problem of carrying a yoke. Shavoids minayin, how would I know that other type of work is a problem? Tamalaymer, there the pasuk is more explicit. and we don't have to come to like such a drasha like we said by Paraduma, because it says Ashley Allah Aleho, stop, and then oil, because there the pasuk says explicitly Tam Aleimer Ashley Ubidba, that no work was done with it, which is Mikamakim, whatever type of work you're doing is a problem by Egla Rufa. Now, but then you have the same question like we had by Paraduma, Im Kima Tam Aleimer oil. So then why does the pasuk pick out yolk if any type of work is a problem? So that the answer is again oil poisel be mishas avoid be mishla mishas avoid, because a yolk is a problem whether during work or not during work. Whereas shar avoid is in place oil mishas avoid, whereas regarding other work it's only a problem during the time when you're doing work. Ask the same question. Why are we saying it in that way that all work is a problem? The ema rather we should say as follows: when it says ashley ubid ba that no work was done with it, well that's klaz, it's just a general statement, any type of work. When it says oil or yolk, well, that's a prat. That's a specific type of a work. Klalu prat, that should tell us general statement, specific statement. That the halacha, the drasha usually is. We expound it as im b'chlal il mashav prat. The general statement really is limited to what it says by this specific, which is oil in midachar in ilai. We should say that actually the work by the egla rufa, that's a problem for it, a disqualifying feature, should only be the yoke. Now the Gemara answers again the same idea, asher ribu yuhu. The term asher, that, is a ribuy, and if we don't learn it as a klal prat, rather in the context of a ribuy, of an inclusive statement, including all types of work. Again, just that there's a difference regarding if it's only a problem, b'shas avoida. A related discussion, the Gemara brings Amr Bavor. Bavor says that Boi Mnei Rabbi Yochanan asked from Yochanan the following question. Meshichas oil, the pulling of a yoke, which again, as we just said before, is a disqualifying feature by the Egla Rufa, which it has to pull it for us, b'kama, how much does it have to schlep it, does it have to drag it, to be considered that it was moishachet. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said to him, kemaloi oil, the amount of the yoke itself, how long that is, that's how far it has to walk with it. Now Yibaylahu, but then the Gemara, they had the question, la'orka oil rachbay, what measurement are we talking about of the yoke? Does the animal have to go with it? Is it the length of the yoke or the width of the yoke? So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, so one of the rabbis over there, Rabbi Yaakov Shemayin, his name is Rabbi Yaakov, he said, to me, it was explained by Rabbi Yechanan, where he qualified, and he said, "Meshichas oil rachbay." It has to walk with the yoke, the measurement of the width of the yoke. I mean, it would seem arbitrary, but we're saying that distance of the width of the yoke, that's how far the animal has to walk while it's carrying that load, which is a tafach. Now, so then the Gemara asks, "Why does he have to give this ambiguous term of carrying at the distance of a yoke, which we're saying is the width, which is a tefach. Just say if it walks a tefach." So the Gemara says, "Now hakamash malan." What parenthetically he was telling us was shiur de oil tefach ava, that the measurement of the width of a yoke is a tefach. So the Gemara says, "L'may nafkamina, what's the halachic relevance of that?" That's lemeka chamemcha. That's when for business dealings, if someone wants to sell you a yoke, make sure the width is a tefach. You now know those parameters, because in the words of the sages, as Gemara tells us elsewhere, we learn about medicine, we learn about commerce, we learn many different things, that was included in the halacha of the distance of how much it has to pull it. Continuing with Agadata in these halachas, Amr B'yechid Ben Shol says, "Memnei ma'amr Tyra, why does the Torah say, Hevi egla banacha? That you have to bring a calf to a hard valley to decapitate over there when you find a slain person?" So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara explains, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yavei davar shaloi asa peres, let them bring something that has not have fruits from it. In other words, we're talking about a calf that's in its first year, which has not given birth to other children. So it didn't make produce yet. V'ya'arif b'mokum she'en asa peres, and let it be decapitated in a place which also does not produce produce, which is because we're talking about a nachal esen, which is hard ground, you can't plant it with it. Let it atone for somebody who did not let him make produce because they killed him. Now the Gemara wonders, my peris, what does it mean that they didn't let this person who was murdered to produce produce, have fruition? If you say that it means because now you can't have children anymore to be fruitful and multiply, if that's the case, then azakan, if let's say the one who was murdered was an elderly person, or vasris, or someone that's is infertile, I can't have children. So you would say regarding those type of people, you don't do egla arufa, you don't do that procedure. Al Rav, the Gemara explains, what does it mean they didn't let him to produce peiris? It's a reference to mitzvahs. Person's good deeds are his peiris, that's his toldos, and therefore, that's what it's a reference to do it with something that doesn't have peiros, in a place that doesn't have peiros, for a person that can't now produce peiros. Now, the Mishnah mentioned that regarding the decapitating of the calf, that umaridin eisel nachal eisen, first they bring the calf down to a nachal eisen, which that's what the pasuk says. And then that explained the Mishnah, eisen is kamashmai, like the word means, which is kasha, it has to be a harsh, hard valley. So the Tanbam and the Brisa that explains the source for this word, that says, minayin le'isen shu kasha. Where do we know that the term eisen means something that's hard? Shnem, like it says the pasuk in Bamidbar, as we continue on to Amud Beis, where the pasuk says, eisen moisha vecha, which literally means to say that your place is eisen, which as we're going to see means tough, v'simba selikinecha, and that you place your nest in the rock. So again, we see that eisen is the same idea as a sela, as a rock. That's what type of terrain has to be in that nachal, which has to be rocky, has to be hard. So to Vayimer, there's a pasuk in Micha that says, Shimu harim es riv Hashem, listen mountains to the dispute of Hashem. V'esanim, and the esanim, moiste aretz, which are the foundations of the earth. So we see that it's a reference to what's the esanim, that's to the mountains, and every mountain is rocky. That's what the mountains are made out of, that's what type of terrain it is. And again, therefore we see the same concept where esan means a hard. That's how we know Nachal Eisen means to say a harsh, hard valley. Others say that actually Minayin Le'Eisen Shu Yashin. How do we know that the term Eisen includes that it should be old ground, meaning that not that they had brought ground from elsewhere recently, from others, rather it has to be old ground there. Shnam, like it says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, says Goy Eisen Hu, it's an Eisen nation, which is, as the pasuk says, Goy Me'Olam Hu, it's an ancient people, meaning that they're old, they've always been around. So we see that the term Eisen means to say that it's always been there. That's a qualifying feature of the Nachal Eisen, where they have to do the Arifa of the Eglo. So the Mishnah continued and said, V'orfen Eisen b'kovitz machareav. So they would chop off its head with a cleaver from the back of its neck. So they ask, my time, what's the reason? Gama Arifa, Arifa mechatas. If we learn out the term of Arifa over here, from the Arifa where it says by the bird carbon chatas, which there the pasuk says, Meyikra perakei mimul arpai, from the back of its neck. So therefore, here we understand that the arifa of the egla has to be the same idea about cutting off its head from the back of its neck. Now, moreover, the Mishnah said that umakayma asim lezroyim aleva, the place of this nachal eisan where it was decapitated, is forbidden to be planted and to have been worked. Now, there's actually machlekes regarding this prohibition of the work over there. Tanabon lan the brisa. The pasuk in Devarim, and this is a parent chaval pasuk dalet, says, which the pasuk there begins by redu ziknei ir ha'iyasa egla, that the elders of the city, they bring down the calf el nachal eisan to this nachal eisan, which is, as our brisa quotes, the qualifying feature asher lo yo'aved by, which there is no work that's been done with it, below yizirei, and that's not been planted. So explains the brisa lisha aver, that's a reference to the past. The Rabbi Yeshua is saying that this is qualifying. I mean, that work was never done or planted over here until now. That's what's a necessary requisite for the Nachal Eisen, for the Egla Rufa procedure. The Einstein, I mean, he actually learns is Lahabba. It means for the future, meaning once you did the Egla Rufa procedure over here, now no one could work this land or plant over here. Now, Rava Amar, he qualifies this Machlekes of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Einstein of this price. And he says, Lahabba the Kuliyam Aloy Pligi. Regarding the future, no one disagrees that it's prohibited. Like it says in the Pasuk, V'loyi Zareya, which sounds like it's talking about to the future, because if it was talking about in the past, it would have said Asher lo yizareya, which would have sounded like that it had not been planted, which would have told us to the past. From the fact that it doesn't say Asher, everyone agrees that the prohibition of work is regards to the future too. Ki pligi l'shaver, their homachlikis is, if it also applies to the past, does it have to have been the place that there was never work done beforehand? Where Rabbi Yeshua Savar, he holds that the past is a problem, because he says, Mik siv lo yu ubad. There's two terms mentioned over there, that of planting, which again we said definitely includes the future, and then that of doing any work. So then Rabbi Yeshua says, does it say v'lo yu ubad? No, it's asher lo yu ovid that it says. Which again, as we said, that the term asher doesn't sound like it's telling you a commandment. It sounds like it's saying a fact, which is obviously then referencing to the past. And therefore we know that it could not have been had done work even beforehand. But Rabbi Anderson, who he learns that no, it's only a problem regarding the future, he says, Miksiv Ashaloi Neva, does it say that the word Neva, which would have sounded like that no work was done with it, meaning in the past? No, it says Yu Ubad, which sounds like a future tense, and therefore it's talking about the future, and there's no problem regarding if work had been done with it up until now. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua, he says that no, Asher l'sha'aver mashma. The term Asher, you're right, maybe it would have been more ideal to use the word Nebad, but the word Asher itself, although Yo'abed sounds like it's going in the future, but that's only when you don't include the word Asher. But now that it says the word Asher, that, obviously that indicates that it's talking about for the past, because Asher sounds like something that was that, but if it was talking about a commandment, it wouldn't use the word Asher. Whereas Rabbi Einstein, he would respond to that, that you're right, what is Asher doing that? But Asher Ribu Yehu, he learns that Asher is not coming to tell you that it's regarding the context to change it to the past, but rather it's coming to include all other types of work are problematic for the Egla Rufa, as we're going to explain later, that again, as we said before, we don't want to make a drush of Klal Prat, so then we have an Asher that qualifies it and makes it into a Ribui. That's why it says Asher, but not to interpret it as going to the past. And therefore, Bunison learns that this problem about working or planting in that place of where the Arifas is only in the future. So again, everyone agrees the future is a problem, but this is machlekes regarding how to learn up the pasuk if it's also a problem in the past. Now, however, the Mishnah qualified this halach and said, but umutu lisuk sham pishtan, you're allowed to comb flax over there in that place, and b'lenakar sham avanim, and to chisel and to carve out stone over there. So turn on the braisa that explains this halacha, this exemption. The pasuk says, asher lo yo'aved bo v'lo yizareah, that no work or no planting is done in that place. Says the braisa, ein li elizriah, I would only know that planting is a problem. Shar avoidis minayin, how do I know other work is a problem? So tamalema, that's what the pasuk says, asher lo yo'aved bo, then no work was done with it, mikal malkim, any type of work. Now im kein, but then the question is, ma tamalema v'lo yizareah, then why does the pasuk pick out a specific type of work, which is one of planting, if any work is a problem? It's coming to tell you this idea. Just like planting, which is distinct in the sense that the work that you're doing in that place is in the actual ground itself. So when we said that all work is a problem over there, it's all work that's in the ground itself. That excludes, let's say, combing flax or chiseling stone, which is not in the actual ground itself. You're just doing work on the ground. That's not a problem. Now, that the Gemara asks, as we asked on the previous prices on Laman Aleph, wait a second. Ve'emer, let's say, that when it says, asher lo yo'aved bo, that no work should be done, that's a klal, that's a general, any type of work. Ve'lo yizareah, then it says that you shouldn't plant, that's a prat, that's a specific type of work. Klal o prat, that should then fit into the category of when you have a general and a specific statement, which the halacha tells us, im b'chlal el masha b'prat, that we only include in the general statement what was said in the specific, which should tell us, the only thing that is a problem is planting, but no other type of work should be a problem. On that, explains the Gemara, when it says regarding this Egla Rufa, Asher, to use the term that, so then Ribuyuhu. So that is an inclusionary term, and again, that's what was referenced just previously in the Gemara. That's what Rabbi Yonasan was saying, that the term Asher shouldn't tell you to interpret it as in the past tense. No, work is only a problem, the doing work in that place is only a problem for the future. Rather, the term Asher is coming to tell you that it's a ribui, but again, not in the context of Klal Prat, but rather in the context of a ribui. So again, that's how we know that the work is only if you're doing it in the ground itself, but not doing work on there, like combing flax. Then the Mishnah continued and said, Zikne ha'ir rechts in yedehen b'chulo. So then the elders of the city, after they do the Egla Rufa, they do the decapitation of the calf, then they wash their hands over there. Now, Tarmon Lunda Braisid explains this halacha. When it says in the pasuk, "V'chol zikne ha'ir hahi ha'krev me'alachol," that all the elders of the city, which was closest to where the slain person was found, yichatzu es yedeim ala egla rufa benachal. The pasuk says, so they washed their hands on the decapitated calf in the valley. Now, she'ein tam alei maharufa. The pasuk is not really teaching us anything by adding on the word decapitated, because when we're saying the calf, we know which calf we're referring to. There's only one there; it's the one that's decapitated. Then what is the pasuk adding when it's saying the decapitated one? What it means to say is al makam arifasa shel egla. It means to say that where is it that they washed their hands? It's in the place of where the calf was decapitated. That's where they washed their hands. Now the pasuk then says, va'amru, they say, yidenu lo yishafchu es adam hazeh. Our hands did not spill this blood of this slain person. Ve'inenu lo ro, and our eyes did not see this. Now, the question is, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, b'chi alibeinu also shebez neshef adam, what do you think? We entertained this, that it was the court that killed this guy? Rather, the interpretation is, leibol yideinu, this guy didn't come to us, ufatrenu b'leim mizaynus, and that we let him go without food. And we didn't see him, that we let him go without an escort. Which again, as we explained in the Mishnah, because if that would have been the case, then that would have been in some way a cause for his death. Similarly, Tanya learned the Braisa, elaborating on this theme about the importance of escorting a person, Hayrmei would say, Kaifin l'levaya. We actually force someone that doesn't want to escort his friend on the road, we force him that he has to escort him out. And the reason being is Shishkar Lavay in Lashir, there is no measurement for the amount of reward that a person gets for escorting, for being Malava a person out. Shnem, like it says a pasuk in Shaifta. Now the context of this parsha is when the tribe of Menashe and Ephraim were trying to capture Beiskel, so they couldn't penetrate the city. So it says, Vayiru Hashrimim Ishiyitzim in the ear. But then the watchmen who were there to see how they can get into the city saw a man coming out of the city. So Yermelo, and they said to him, Hareinu Noas Mavai Ha'ir. Show us the entryway, how you get into the city. And Vasinim Chachasad. And if you do that, we'll do a kindness for you. Now, Ksiv, and then the Pasuk says after that, Vayarim Es Mavai Ha'ir. He showed them the entryway, how to get into the city. Now, it explains the Gemara, Ma Chesed Asim Meisa. What was the kindness that they actually did to this person? So Shekol Isayir Hargulafihar, as we know that they killed out all the inhabitants of that city. But that man and his family, they let him go free. Whereas the Pasuk says after that, so that man who was able to get out of the city went to the land of the Chiti and he built a city. The Yikra Shema Luz, and he called the name of the city Luz. And he Shema the Yemazan. The Pasuk says that's its name up until today, which actually from that reference, the Gemara is going to bring now a Braisa, which from there we learn out that they were never chased out and they were never destroyed, because as the Gemara elsewhere says, that wherever it says the term Ad Hayoim Hazeh, it means it exists for eternity, forever. So therefore, Tanya, we learn the Braisa, he Luz, this city of Luz, that this person who got out, built, is the place Shetzevim Batecheles, is where they die Techeles. He Luz, that's the same Luz, Shebos and Cheriv Ulei Bilbala, where although Sacheriv came in, took every nation and put them in other places and mixed them up, he didn't mess up the people of Luz. Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed all the places of Lehechriv, he didn't destroy Luz. And V'af Malcha Mavis Enli Rishos Lavaba, even the angel of death has no permission to go into that city of Luz. Ella, rather, you know what happens? Is the Kenim Shaba, the elderly in that city, Bizman Shadayt and Katzalein, when they're just disgusted and fed up with life, so then Yetzin Chutz Lachem Vei Mesim, they go out of the city walls and then they die. But in that place, no destruction, nothing bad can happen. So says the Gemara, Vali Dvarim Kavol Chaymer, so can you imagine the logic over here? Where Maknani Zeh, if this Kanani, from one of the people of Eretz Kanan, Shalei Dibir Befiv, that he didn't even say any words with his mouth. Rather, as the Pasuk says, Vayarim, he showed them the entryway of the city. Whereas the Gemara will shortly explain, either he showed with his finger, or with a twisting of his mouth. And V'laholach Baraglav, he didn't move his feet even to help them. Yet Garim Hatzal Aloy Ulazari, you know what he caused? He caused salvation and saving for himself, for his children, whereas we said, because the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, doesn't even come into the city of his descendants, Ad Soif Kaladars, until all future generations. So therefore, Misha is Lavoy Baragla, this is someone that escorts a person, and he actually moves with his feet to help his friend. Halach is coming for coming. Could you imagine the reward that happens for a person that's Malava someone else? Now, so the Gemara asks, B'maher Elohim, so how did this Kanani show them if he didn't even go with his feet and he didn't say anything? So Chizkiyah, I mean, he says, Befiv Akam Lehem, by a twist of his mouth, he was able to indicate where the entryway is. And Rabbi Yechanan, a bed spoiler, he says that with his finger he showed them. But Tani Kabba said, Rabbi Yechanan, there's a brisa that says, like Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation, which says, Beshvil Shekanani Zeh, Heri Bet Spoy, because this Kanani showed with his finger, Garm Hatzal Aloyu Lazari Atzev Kalderis. He caused salvation for him, his children, until all future generations, just from the pointing of a finger. Now, continuing on this theme of Levaya, Amri B'shu ben Levi says, "Mahalach baderech ve'ein le'levaya." What does someone do if he's walking on the road and he doesn't have anyone that's escorting him? So Yask Batar, he should toil in Tyra. Shneim, like the pasuk says in Mishlei, in regards to the context there is learning Tyra, ki livyas chein hem le'rishacha, because it's an escort of grace that it is for your head, v'anokum le'gagar esecha, and it's chains for your neck. So we see Tyra is called a levaya; it escorts a person. Moreover, another statement from Amir B'shu ben Levi in this context, he says, "Bishvil arba pesiyos shalava par Avram," because of four steps that Paroi, the king of Egypt, escorted Avram Avinu in the time when his wife Sarah was taken in captivity by Paray. Shenem, like it says in the pasuk, Ve'itzav alav Paray noshim v'goyim, that Paray commanded that there should be people, and Ve'yishalchu, and that he sent him. So we see that he escorted him out. Nishtabed bebonav arba meyishan. He was able to have the children of Avram Avinu enslaved 400 years because of the four steps he took to escort him. Shenem, like it says in the pasuk, Ve'avdu me'inu oisim arba meyishan. That he enslaved them and he afflicted them for 400 years. Again, we see how great, not just in good, but even in bad, meaning the reward that Paray got for just escorting Avraham Avinu four steps. Moreover, Amar Behudim Rav, he says, Kolam alav es chaveira arba ames be'ir. If someone escorts his friend four ames in a city, ein nizik, so that person that's now going on this journey is not going to get harmed. As the Gemara shows, that Ravina, alvoye l'rova bar Yitzchak dal ames be'ir. Ravina escorted Rava by Yitzchak four ames in the city. There was an incident of danger that Rava by Yitzchak encountered, but he was saved again because of the merit of him having being escorted four ames. Now, turn by Melinda Braiso, that what are the parameters of this halacha? How far do you escort a person? So the Braiso says there's different divisions. Harav l'talmud, a Rebbe to escorting his student, is Adi Bur Shalir, is up until the Ibur of the city. Ibur is literally from the term of pregnant, which is the city ends at a certain place. But the last house that within 70 and a fraction amas from the main part of the city is considered an extension of the city, till that house is where the Rebbe has to escort his Talmud. Chavar l'chavar, when friends are escorting each other, that's at Tchum Shabbos, that's further, that's after the Ibur of the city, after 70 and fraction amas out of the city, which is where essentially the city ends, although it ends previously, the halacha continues it for 70 and fraction, then 2,000 amas past that, which is the Tchum of Shabbos, that's where a friend has to walk his friend. Now, Talmud L'Rav, a student escorting his teacher out, that's Ein Lishir, that has no measurement. Now, Kama, how much is this no measurement? Rav Sheshi said Ad Parsa, which is a much longer distance. Now, however, on that the Gemara qualifies even further, V'lo Yomarin, we didn't say this, that's until a Parsa, El Rabbi She'en Amuvik, which is not his permanent and primary teacher. Just a teacher, any teacher. Avo Rabbi Muvig, Shaloisha Parsois. But his primary teacher, he has to escort him three Parsois out of the city. Now the Gemara continues and says, Rav Kahana, Il Viyuhu L'Rav Simi Bar Ashi, he escorted Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Mi Pum Nara Ad Beit Sinisa De Bavel, until this place called Beit Sinisa De Bavel. Now, Ki Mato Hasam Amarle, when they reached over there, so he said to him, now, Vaday de Amritu, is this really true, this that they say? That Hani Tzinisa de Bavel, this place called Tzinisa de Bavel, now the reason why it's called Tzinisa of Bavel is because there were many palm trees over there, which as we find this term in Masechta Sukkah regarding a certain type of lulav that's called Tzine Harabazel. So Tzinisa is a term of palm trees. So he asked him, is it true regarding this place, because of the palm trees that's there, that people say Mishnei Adam Arishan Isnu, that they're still here, they're still in their natural state from the days of Adam Arishan, from the first man? So Amalei, he responded to him, he says, you know what, it's Kartan Milsa, you remind me of something. The Amr B'Yisra Rebchanina said, that Maidich said, what does the Pasuk mean in Yemriya that says, Be'eretz lo ova ba'ish, in the land that no man has passed by, b'lo yashav adam shom, and no person has settled over there. Now the question is, v'chime'achash lo ovar, obviously if the Pasuk said that no one ever passed by, heichin yashav, how would a person settle? Why do you need the second part of the Pasuk? Where in the parentheses some have Uma'achash lo yashav heichin ovar. Now if no one ever settled, they had anyone pass by, but that's in parentheses. But the question is, why do you need both references? So Ella, rather, so on that is what Rabbi Yisrael Chanina said, Eretz shegazer la Adam HaRishon leYishuv, a land that Adam HaRishon, the first man, had decreed on it that it should be settled, Nisyashva, that's the type of land that gets settled. Eretz shegazer la Adam HaRishon, regarding a land that Adam HaRishon did not decree that it should be settled, which as we find there are places that for some reason are not settled, lo Nisyashva never ended up getting settled. Now that's what it means when it says, Lo Yeshiv Adam Sham, it doesn't mean as a literal translation of a person that has never settled there. It means that Adam HaRishon did not decree that there should be a Yeshiv over there, there should be a settlement. Now, that's how he was explaining what he had asked him, that this that people say, that these trees are here from the times of Adam HaRishon, what it really means, what the people are saying, is that because Adam HaRishon had decreed that this settlement should be a settlement of palm trees and not any other type of settlement. That is what they really mean, and because it's Adam HaRishon who declared and decreed what the world should be like. Now, Rav Mordechai Ilavohi L'Ravashi escorted Ravashi, Magrunyev Ad Pei Kifi. Now, Bamila and some say that it was Ad Beidur. Continuing on this theme, Amr B'yichel Mishum Reb Meir says, Kol she'ein malava umeslava. Anyone who does not participate either in escorting or being escorted, kilu shefech dam. It's like as if he spilled blood, as if he killed someone. Why? Because we find, shel mali livo anshe richel Elisha. Had it been that the people of Bericha had escorted Elisha Hanavi out of their city, legira devim l'tinaikis, he would not have incited beers to attack the children. Shneim, like it says, the pasuk Malachim Beis says that the yal misham beiskel, that Elisha had left Yericha, he heading to beiskel. Now, v'hu ola baderach, he was going up on the road. Una arm ketanim yotzu min the ear beiskel sabay. Now they were young lads that were coming out of the city, and they were taunting him. And they said to him, alei karech, get out of here, you bold one, get out of here, you bold one. So what does that mean? So the Gemara explains that Amr Loi, what they were telling to Elisha was, alei, get out of here. Shekirach doleinu samokim, you made our place bold. What does that mean? Because what happened is that the water, there used to be bad water. Now, so these people were telling Elisha, our whole parnasa, our whole livelihood was to bring water for other people and sell to these people who didn't have good water. Now you went and fixed the water. Now it's good water. You now made us lose our jobs. Get out of here. You made this place bold. We have nothing to have a parnasa anymore. So the Gemara wonders, my una arb ketan. What does this mean that it was young lads? It doesn't make sense. Nar is a term that usually when you reach around the age of 12. Cotton is under the age of 12. What does it mean, the arb ketan? So Amr Blazer, he says, it's actually two different references that are defining their character. Nar is shemenu urim min mitzvahs. The word nar also means to shake out, meaning that they were shaken out, they were empty from mitzvahs. And ketanim, when it means that they were small, it's shahir mekadnei aman, it means to say that they were small in their emunah, in their belief in the capabilities of Hashem, because they were afraid that here they lost their livelihood because the water was fixed. What do you think? And Hashem can't provide for you? You think He only has to provide you with water to sell to people that don't have water? Hashem is unlimited. So in that sense, they were small. Tana, we learned the Brisa, a different interpretation, that no, na'arim hayu, they were young lads, meaning they were over the age of 12, but ubizbizu asma kiktana, but they degraded themselves like little babies, like little children. That's why they're called kiktana. Maskel Rav Yisrael, Rav Yisrael asks on the whole premise of the question, that what, were they na'arim or kiktanim? He says, what do you mean? The Dilma, maybe they were ketanim, maybe they were little kids, but al shem kaiman, but it was because of the place where they came from that they were called na'arim, because they actually came from a place of na'iran. Because he says me like siv, doesn't it say pasuk malachim beis as follows? It says va'aram yotzu gedudim, that Aram went out in their troops, ve'yishbu me'eretz Yisrael na'ar ketan, and they took as a captive from Eretz Yisrael a young naira, young maiden. Now, Kashla, Nara Ketan, we had the same question there also. Was she a Nara? Was she 12? Or was she minor? Was she under 12? For Amri, Padastra, and Padast said, very simply, Ketana de Minna Iron. She was a young girl from this place called Na'iran. So why do we have to give these interpretations about, like, as if it's a contradiction, Nara and Katan? Very simply, they were Ketanim from this place Na'iran. And that the Gemara answers, no. The reason why they didn't say that was because Hasam le Mefarash Mekayma. And that Pasuk Melachim Beis, it doesn't say where that girl was from. So therefore, we interpreted that the term of Na'ara not as contradictory, but that she came from this place called Na'iran. Whereas Hacham, a first Mekayman, but over here, it's specific, and it says the place that they came from. It says that they came from Yericha, and that they were taunting him when he was leaving Yericha. And again, that's why we said it's so important to have escorted, because had the escorts been there, they would have kept these kids at bay, and that they wouldn't have made the situation, at least getting upset and cursing them. So, but again, but it says that they came from Yericha, and that's why we couldn't interpret that Na'arim was the place where they came from. Again, so therefore, either Na'arim means that they were Na'urim and Amitzvahs, or yeah, right, that they were Na'ara, that they were Na'arim, they were young lads, they were over the age of 12, but that they acted like Ketanim. Now the Gemara continues elaborating on that parsha that we introduced because of, we said, the importance of Levoya, of escorting, but now the Gemara discusses in greater length that parasha over there with Elisha. So it says over there, V'yifin achrav v'yirim, so he turned around, he heard these kids taunting him, and he saw them, v'yikalim b'shem Hashem, and he cursed them in the name of Hashem. So the question is, ma'ra, what does it mean that he saw them? I mean, he turned around and he saw them, what's the pasuk referencing? And then, because then it says, and then he cursed them. Why does he have to see them, and then there's a curse? So Amar Rav says, ra mamish, it means literally that he saw them, k'detan, like we learned the b'raisa. Where b'shem yim li'l oimer, he says, k'amakim sh'nosnu chacham me'neim, wherever the sages place their eyes, if they're looking at you, oy misa oy oini. And again, obviously it means in the context of the person doing something wrong, which is what this incident was. So therefore, either death happens or poverty happens, which these kids were then harmed by the beers. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Ra, what he saw, what does it mean that he saw? Shakula nis'abra ben iman b'yom kippur. He saw that all of these children that were taunting him, their mothers were impregnated with them on Yom Kippur, which is obviously a problem because one's not allowed to have one of the five inuyim of cohabiting on Yom Kippur. So when it says he saw their souls, he saw when they were conceived, and therefore they were worthy of being harmed. He says, Bloiris Rol and Kamariyim. He saw that they had this bloiris, like the Amorites, which is they had that all your hair is shaved on the head, besides one ponytail that's sticking out. That again, that obviously they were lower stature in spirituality. There was something wrong with them, and therefore again he felt fit to curse them in the name of Hashem. He says, when it says he saw them, he saw they didn't have even the moisture of mitzvah. They were totally wicked. Now the Gemara asks, okay, but v'dimla b'zarayu nehavahava, maybe their children would have had. How could he go ahead and kill them out, where he's not only killing them, he's killing all the descendants for all future time? Maybe their children would have been fulfillers of mitzvahs. On that, Amar Blazer, leibam v'leib bezarim atzev kol adaris. When Elisha killed them, he saw that not only they had no moisture of mitzvah, neither would their children, and neither would all the descendants for all future generations. And that's what it means that he saw that, and therefore he went and cursed them b'shem Hashem.